Welcome to another episode of Pearls of Passage. I'm your host, Ellie Atherton. Last week, I sat down with my childhood friend, Jody Bowen-Skalski, and we talked about the challenges of forgiveness and where to begin. I'm still hearing from listeners that how to start on the path of forgiveness for yourself is not clear to them. So this week, I'm just going to talk about some of the obstacles of forgiving yourself, different ways to approach the process, and what I learned, because all I can share with you is what I've learned from the dying about forgiveness and how I've tried to apply it in my life, what's worked for me and what hasn't. And hopefully, some of my suggestions will help to get you started if you're having trouble. The very first step towards forgiveness is awareness. If you can recognize the situation in your life where you're holding on to negative thoughts, that's where it begins. We can't erase our past. I believe even the challenges make us the adult that we are today. And this could show up either in a positive trait or a negative trait. But the truth is, if you're holding on to a bad memory or a hurtful situation, those repetitive thoughts are affecting you and how you function and connect to the world around you. Sometimes they're keeping you from your true happiness and potential. And although the truth of the memory may be real, some aspects of it may not be the truth. As children, we sometimes see things differently, or because of our insecurities at a young age, we take things in a way that they may not have been intended. Nonetheless, it doesn't minimize the effect that it had on us and has on us. Forgiveness comes from digging in and finding the truth of that memory and that message that we've held on to. The stories that we carry and have been telling ourselves are true do shape us in ways we may not be aware of until we question them. For example, if you were told that you were stupid or plain-looking, those are hurtful messages and words that stay with you. The person speaking them is hurting too and inflicting their suffering on you by saying those words to you. I've met many adults who admit they still believe those negative messages. Even though to the world and those around them, it would appear that they had overcome those messages. These deep-seated negative messages are the ones that keep us from offering forgiveness to ourselves. In my discussions at the bedside of the dying, I discovered that even when we could pinpoint the messages that the patients were having and couldn't let go of, many people believed that they didn't deserve self-forgiveness. Even when we could recognize that it went back to one message that they heard at a young age, somehow they felt they deserved to suffer and didn't deserve that self-forgiveness. I think this is why it becomes so challenging to let go of these messages, because so many of us have held on to them throughout our lives and we begin to relate to them and it's a part of us and we don't know how to let go of it. In these situations, I think you really have two big hurdles to overcome. The first is that you need to recognize that the messages you received about yourself may not have been true or are no longer true, whichever the case may be. Because let's face it, we're all constantly changing. And this letting go of the past must be part of the equation of forgiveness. I believe the second hurdle is accepting that you deserve to be loved and deserve to forgive yourself. This is uncomfortable for so many people because we see loving ourselves as selfish. Selfish is a word that has been given a negative connotation. And again, this is not necessarily true. Caring for yourself is the best way to be available and fully open to giving love and receiving love from others. And that's not selfish. The definition of selfish means lacking regard for others. And if caring for yourself makes you better able to love others, then that's not selfish at all because others will benefit. In order to care for yourself, you have to work to ensure that you offer love for yourself by accepting that you're worthy of all the goodness life can offer you. It all sounds so simple when you're reading it in a book or when I'm talking about it, but putting it into practice is altogether different and challenging for most of us. Myself included, I have been working at forgiveness off and on for many years, and I don't think I've mastered it or will ever master it. And it has been hard, but it has also been so rewarding the further I get down the path of forgiveness. I see it as a conscious and necessary effort that keeps me grounded in myself. Forgiveness, for me, it's learning to be kind, patient, and accepting of myself with all my flaws. Perfection is not part of the equation when it comes to forgiveness. In fact, I believe you can't have deep forgiveness for anyone or anything if perfection is allowed into the equation. When you've spent years believing what other people told you about yourself, it will take some time to transform that thought into a positive. When a negative thought, like the ones I mentioned earlier, are so deeply ingrained into our mind, it takes work to change them or remove them altogether. Many people have told me that even as a successful adult, they feel ashamed to be that person they were told that they were at a young age. And at a private level, they still believe the message to be true, even with all their successes. Now, some people have been told that they would never succeed at something. And so it became a self-fulfilling prophecy for them, and often they didn't even bother to pursue what they had wished for. While others decided that that statement of being told they would never succeed was a challenge, and they were determined to prove it wrong. So why would they continue to carry that message if they had proven that it wasn't true? I believe the answer is because it came from someone who they loved and trusted, and so the pain and the hurt was still there. We all face these negative messages in different ways, and so depending on which personality you are, your approach to forgiveness will be different. But I can tell you now, if you choose to face the negative message as a challenge, and you have succeeded, then you can see the message as a gift that helped push you forward towards your goal. Because think about this, without it, you may not have been so determined to succeed. So going back to where to begin, awareness is number one. Here's a suggestion. Sit down. Write down the messages that you have in your mind about yourself, the ones you don't want anyone to know about, the things you feel ashamed of, embarrassed about, or hurt by. Don't worry, as soon as you've completed the first exercise, shortly thereafter, I'm going to recommend that you delete it, tear it up, shred it, or burn it. No one other than you needs to read it. When I started writing down the messages I had carried for years, I recognized that I did have the ability to overcome some messages when I was young. because I learned that I had taken them in a way that they had not been intended. I'll give you an example. When I was in junior high, some of my friends used to call me Twiggy because I was skinny and tall, like the model Twiggy. Now, you would think this would be a great compliment, right? Well, it was in one sense, but it was also an embarrassment in another. Here's why. When I would arrive in my homeroom each morning, one of my classmates, thinking he was funny, would always draw attention to my skinny legs. I loved to wear dresses, and so when I would come through the door in a dress, he would point his finger at me and laugh loudly and say to my classmates, "Look at those Twiggy legs." Everyone would laugh, and I would feel embarrassed and ashamed of my skinny legs. Pretty soon, I became so uncomfortable, and I dreaded going through the door to homeroom each morning when I wore a dress. So I decided to stop wearing dresses, something that I loved, in order to avoid the embarrassment. I actually went several years without wearing dresses to school because of that situation. Now, I wasn't wise enough at the time to realize this boy had a crush on me and wanted my attention, and he just thought he was being funny. I learned years later that he never intended to hurt my feelings and was simply trying to be playful and fun. But this is a good example of how something intended in one way was received in another way and affected the person on the receiving end in a negative manner. I put a message in my head that my skinny legs were something to be laughed at. Now, I couldn't change the fact that I had skinny legs, and I wasn't secure enough at the time to not let his opinion of me or the laughter of my classmates affect me. I think this happens all the time, especially in those formative years, when we're young and we're taking in everything and everyone around us to try to determine how we fit into that puzzle. It's challenging. Once I was in my high school years and became more comfortable with myself, I started wearing dresses again. But there's several lessons in this story. As a young adult, I was learning how not to let the opinion of others affect my decision-making. I discovered that I was losing precious energy when I tried to follow the crowd, when it didn't feel right to me, or when I worried about what others thought of my personal choices, which was one that didn't align with theirs. That making choices that aligned with me deeply made me happy and content. And I wasn't wasting precious energy worrying. So the bigger lesson I was being offered was that needing to be accepted is just as toxic to me as listening to the negative messages in my head. I think this is true for all of us. When you're writing down the negative thoughts, also include the things you want people to say about you to make you feel worthy. This is another place where we get caught up. This may seem odd, but it's crucial in the steps of accepting who you really are and not needing others' praise to feel good about yourself. Forgiving yourself for the things you thought you were supposed to be and feeling worthy of all that life has to offer you, just you, as you are, is the goal. Once you have your list, sometimes it's helpful to focus on one message at a time and think about the fact that you may have believed something that wasn't true about you. Then ask yourself, why are you still letting the message remain and repeat over and over and hold you down? This is what I do. I recognize the message coming up. I would just say, this is no longer true about me. Every time the message comes up, just repeat the new phrase again. Now, if it's a situation that happened to you and you took part in the outcome, and we often do play a role in some of the negative things that happen to us, please try to remember, we don't have to label ourselves or the other person as good or bad, villain or victim. These just create more suffering. If you were hurt by someone else and you haven't forgiven them, in order to stop your suffering, you've got to forgive that person first. This does not mean you forget what happened, what they did to you, the emotional or physical pain that you felt. All of it is part of your history. It's real. It doesn't disappear when you offer forgiveness. I look at it this way. I forgive that person because now I understand that they must have been in deep suffering in order to hurt another human being in the way that they did. When I can see that person and their actions in a compassionate way, I find it fairly easy to forgive them. I accept that they were suffering because of the negative messages they believe about themselves. I understand also that these negative messages create things such as anger, depression, sadness, jealousy, and so on. So I choose to attach their behavior, whichever one of those it was, to their suffering. I don't usually have the details of why they're suffering or what makes them act in that way, but I am still choosing to forgive them because I understand that we all suffer and act out in ways that we're not proud of sometimes. The big challenge comes with being honest with ourselves about the roles we play in every situation. This is where I think I was challenged the most. Because we make assumptions and we take things personally and we're not able to deflect others' suffering. And we allow ourselves to be hurt by it instead. So I'm taking that responsibility. I'm changing how I hear people, how I perceive their actions and words, and I make this into a practice. Being patient with myself while I'm in practice is very important. Like everything in life, the more you do it, the easier it gets. So don't criticize yourself when you don't fully succeed in not taking things personally or when you make an untrue assumption. At first, just rely on awareness of the situation. Take a deep breath before speaking in emotional situations. Try listening more and talking less. One way to do this is don't be building a rebuttal while someone is speaking, because you may totally miss the real message they're sharing with you. Your ability to hear them may be exactly what they needed to diffuse their negative emotion. When you choose not to react with a negative emotion, that is compassion. And compassion is necessary in order for forgiveness to happen. That means compassion for others and for yourself. When you choose not to take it personally, you're taking care of yourself by not allowing yourself to be wounded by their suffering. By the same token, you'll begin to recognize how your calm presence and ability to listen is offering a necessary openness to the other person's feelings and emotions. This is where trust begins. Boy, I wish I could say that I've mastered all of this, but I haven't. I do have greater awareness, and I do work towards responding in this way as often as I can, sometimes with great success, sometimes with less success, and other times not at all. But I'll never give up trying. Because when I'm able to offer this compassion, it feels so much better than when I'm unable. So begin by forgiving that other person because they were in a place of suffering when they hurt you. Then tell yourself that you deserve forgiveness no matter how terrible the situation was. You do deserve forgiveness. You can't go back and change it. Your only options are to live in anger, depression, shame, mistrust, whatever it created in you. Or you can choose to let it go. Let it be where it is and walk away from it. Leave it right there in your past. Choose to forgive yourself, knowing the situation and reactions weren't perfect. It might have hurt someone else. But the best you can do is to say I'm sorry to them, or at least recognize what happened and the part you played, and then say, I forgive myself because I'm accepting of the lesson and I want to go forward in a more positive way. And then remind yourself that no one is perfect. No one came to this life in a perfect way with the ability to never affect another human being in an unkind or hurtful way. It's just not possible because we are all suffering. So, of course, you may not have even intended to hurt someone, but that's the way they received it, and you have no control over that. Another practice that helped me in self-forgiveness was that I decided if I were talking to Ellie, the little girl, about the past and the messages that are in my head, I had compassion for that little girl because I totally believe that I came into the world with goodness, love, and joy to share with others. I found that having a picture of me when I was young helped me to do this with greater success. Find a picture of yourself when you were young, one that will make you happy when you look at it. Like everyone, I was affected by my early environment, by my parents and my brothers and our interactions and circumstances. And the events that we encountered together left some messages with me that I carried for decades. As I went back to some of the messages that I had kept, it was fairly easy for me to accept and recognize that there is no perfect childhood, that my parents were doing the best job they could with all they understood and had available to them, that my brothers and I are all different people with unique traits and ways of dealing with our emotions, none being right or wrong for the other. And I decided that the little girl did not deserve some of what was said and done during those years. Nonetheless, I could not go back and change them. I decided to turn them into positives. I recognized that in some ways, certain things that occurred made me stronger as I struggled to hold on to my true self. I was always a compassionate, sensitive, and emotional child. Even when my family didn't know how to respond to me, I continued to be that little girl. As soon as I learned to write, I began writing my feelings down in order to work through them. Writing really helped me, and I soon realized that it was a healthy way for me to release my emotions instead of keeping them bottled up inside. As an adult, I came to see this ability as a young girl to stay connected as a form of courage. And I've turned that into another positive by being thankful for that opportunity. Because had I not had the family members who reacted in the way they did to my way of being, I may not have tried so hard to hang on to my emotion, compassion, and sensitivity. Those three characteristics have been at the forefront of my life. So I am grateful that at a young age, I knew I should not bury them and instead found ways to honor them privately by writing them down. I'm a caregiver by nature, and all those traits have helped me to be a kind and loving caregiver. By looking back and understanding my early life in this new way, it's helped me to move beyond some of the negative thoughts and offer forgiveness to others and to myself. So I've come to recognize that some of what I went through was necessary for me in my growth as a person. These lessons or challenges I faced when I was growing up were just giving me opportunities to stay on my own true path. And of course, many times over the years, I would veer off and try to please others and not honor what was in my heart. But I quickly learned that it didn't feel good to me when I did that. I think finding the things in your life that bring you the most joy can help us feel less out of sorts, resentful, detached, and more joyful about life. So now by recognizing what brings you joy, is also important to forgiving yourself. Here's what I discovered. that as I worked on forgiveness for myself, I found I had resentment and anger at myself for not doing the things I love the most. I put them off. I was always busy caring for others, and I loved that. But I was putting myself last, and I was mad at myself about that. I was angry that I had given up on things I wanted. I had let go of dreams that I had. And I was actually told that I was being selfish if I thought about my own needs and pursued my dreams. And sadly, I chose to believe that. I had to first forgive the people who shared those untrue messages with me, and then I had to forgive myself for believing them. Finally, recognizing that for me, it was not too late to pursue my dreams. I think the biggest hurdle that I've had to overcome was believing that it's not selfish to pursue your dreams or care for yourself first. When my children were young, I chose not to. We all know as a caregiver, you often put yourself last. And now we're learning and hearing more about the fact that it's not healthy. As a nurse, we do the same thing. Our patients and our team always seem to come first. I've had to work really hard to not only take care of myself, but believe that it's not selfish to take care of myself first. The self-care is something that I've only really believed and put into practice in the last few years of my life. I'm 60 years old, and I'm just learning how to really take care of myself with no guilt and with love and compassion for myself. At the end of the day, this is your life story, your legacy. After sitting with so many dying people, we all want to feel good about ourselves and feel comfortable with how people will remember us. That turns out to be all about love. It's about the loving things we do for others and for ourselves during our lifetime. I think forgiveness for self and others is the key to not only finding joy in life, but a peaceful end to it. And I want to model a loving example as a woman who can care for herself in order to love others more deeply, accepting my imperfections, because I can see my challenges not as failures, but as opportunities for growth. I believe the fear of success is what holds us back from our true potential, not the fear of failure. Showing up as our true selves is scary. And that's because we have not forgiven ourselves. We feel ashamed. We don't want people to see who we really are. But once we do find the ability to show up as our true selves and forgive ourselves, it becomes easier to show our true colors to the world because we're no longer ashamed or embarrassed by who we are. We can accept our imperfections as part of the human experience. I'm still working at some of these aspects of myself. I don't think we ever stop growing and learning or forgiving. We're always going to encounter people who push our buttons. And once again, it's an opportunity to ask yourself, why does that bother me? Why does that tone in their voice rub me the wrong way? I can't recommend any more highly than I already have the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. This book is such a great place to start if you're working on forgiveness, because it will help you to understand how you are miscommunicating with the world and with yourself. By taking things personally, by making assumptions about others, by not doing your best because of the negative messages in your head, and the biggest one that holds us back is being impeccable with our word, which goes back to believing the messages in your head that are untrue. This book is a short read, but it's the kind of book similar to my first book where it's best to read in small bits so you can digest the thought and the lesson as you go. I've read this book so many times I've lost count. Sometimes I pick it up and just read one chapter if I feel I need reminders about that aspect of life. I've been doing this over more than 20 years, but it is powerful and a life-changing book. It will teach you to have more compassion for yourself and to respect and honor yourself and your need for self-care and self-love in order to be whole and find deep joy. So let's wrap up here. Here's a recap on what I'm suggesting you can do to get started on the path of forgiveness. First, make a list of the negative thoughts that you often have. This list could be called the lies. Second, go more deeply with each one to try to figure out where it came from and how you may have been acting out the part over the years. Try to recognize that it really isn't true about who you are, or if it is, that you want to change it. Make another list. You can call this one the truth of who you are. And just take the messages from the list of lies and change them to a positive. Some may be things you've already accomplished, but you were just believing the old story. Others may be things that you're working towards. Write the truth. You know what the things are that you need to turn around and turn them into a positive. That's what the list of truths should be about. The first list, once you're done with that, I recommend you tear it up, you delete it, or burn it. Because you don't need it anymore. You're just going to focus on the positive. For most, this process of discovery is not quick. Some people do sit down and will write everything in one sitting, while others take more time. For me personally, I found working on just a few messages at a time felt less overwhelming and I could stay the course better. Sometimes I decided I needed to learn something from that tough lesson, and I was able to appreciate the opportunity of growth that it offered. You can do whatever feels right for you, but that's what worked for me. One of the things I did that helped to remind me of all the positive messages is I would repeat them almost like prayers. Other times, I would laugh at the old message. So, for example, I always use writing my book as a good example of the messages that try to trip me up, keep me small, tell me I wasn't capable or deserving. And there were times when I was struggling with writing the stories and I was exhausted and feeling that I just couldn't write anymore. And then the negative messages would come. Something like this: who's going to read a book about dying anyway? Why are you wasting all your time on this big pipe dream? I would have to dig deep and respond with a positive thought that said, this is not true. These stories have value. These people taught me important lessons that need to be shared with other people. And I wouldn't have been put in these situations to learn from them and to witness their suffering if there was not an important and valuable reason for it. So that's just how I chose to face the messages that were trying to trip me up and keep me small. Because that's what the negative messages do to us at the end of the day. They keep us small. They keep us from our true potential. They tell us that we don't deserve our joys, our deep happiness, or our success. And if I was in a place where I could say it out loud, I would. Because there's something powerful about speaking out loud to the universe. At least for me anyway. Once we accept that we are deserving, we are good, and we are capable of deep joy and happiness, then we can move forward toward forgiveness. Please remember, forgiveness is a process. It takes time and patience. I know it can be discouraging, and honestly, you cannot be in it every single day. You've got to take breaks. The other important practice that really helped me was my ability to have gratefulness. It diminishes negativity in my life in the biggest way. It's like a positive wave that crashes down on the negative thought that burns and causes pain, and it quickly puts out that fire. Remember how it's sometimes necessary to burn down the forest or the fields to allow for new growth? That's what we're doing. Accepting that it's time for release of the old to allow for the new. So I always start my day with gratefulness. I offer gratefulness throughout the day when something happens, even the littlest things. I say thank you to God, to the universe, or to the person who's offering a kindness or support to me. I find that the more grateful I am, the more blessings I receive in life, and just the awareness of them propels me forward in a loving and kind way. So, there you are, a few of my ways of embracing forgiveness. I hope you can find something in these suggestions that works for you. I can't tell you how much it means to me to be able to help you, even in some small way, to work toward forgiveness and finding more joy in your life. I hope you'll join me next week when I sit down for another great interview with an old colleague. I think you'll enjoy it. Remember, life offers endless possibilities. We simply need to be open to them. Here's to a good life and a good death. Have a great week.